What a beautiful sight. Amen and amen. To see a full house and our children being prepared to go now and be discipled. What a beautiful sight. Well, as we begin this morning, I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you if you can recall a time when you've gone through a personal trial, a tribulation, a test that may perhaps have defined you, may have done more than that, may have defined a time, a season of your life. I want you to think about human history. There have been events, tragedies, that have defined more than a person, but have defined a time, a season, a culture, a country. Well, praise God, I'm here today to tell you that we are standing in just such a time, and we are standing together, and we're standing in victory on the other side of such a time where Satan has attacked God's family, and God's family has won. We stand tall and together on the other side of a spiritual attack. And we do it in victory, victory in Jesus. And I pray that you know that you know that you know that that's a truth. And it's not a general truth, it's a gospel truth. And it's not a for everybody else truth, it's a for us right here, right now truth. That when you think about who we are today, where we are today, we have walked by faith, we have won over our fears. And we have worshiped and witnessed as a family no matter what. And on this day where for us as a Bridge family, we are regathering physically. We have never separated spiritually. Why? Because we know who Jesus is and we know who we are in Christ. Friends, I pray that today is a day of deep celebration, that you are here, whether you're hearing or you're physically present, that you are here knowing that we have walked by faith, we have won over our fears, and we have witnessed and worshiped as a family no matter what. 15 months ago, I came to you as the under-shepherd of this family, and I said to you, I don't know where this is going, but it looks pretty rough. And they're telling us we can't physically come together. No one and nothing can separate us because of who we are. Well, praise God, 15 months later, I come to you today and say, we're back. We're back, and we never went away. Because we never stopped worshiping. We never stopped being the witness that Christ died to give life to. And we have celebrated this time. Again, I ask you, can you think of a time or a place where a trial or a tragedy or a test may have defined you for a moment, may have put you down on one knee, maybe brought you down to both knees? You see, we're in such a time right now. And I've brought you together in the context of this COVID mess, 15 months of messes and mandates, masks, 15 months of terrible trials, of turbulent times, of tragic tribulations. And not for a second has the light dimmed in the family of God. Not for a second has the mission stopped or stalled. All by God's grace and all for his glory. I want to bring to you today a passage in God's word that is one of the biggest in all of the Bible and one that parallels for us this mission of truth and love, the story of hope and healing that we are and that we bring to the world. We're not just coming out of COVID. We are coming to the world with the truth and the love of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to go with me today to Genesis chapter 22, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 19. We're in the context of a sermon series entitled Show and Tell. And within that series, we're walking through the Bible in a chronological sense, looking at the accounts within the Bible that help to tell the big glory story of our God. We find ourselves today at the account in Genesis 22, where we see Abraham getting ready to sacrifice Isaac. And I want you to just stop for a second, and I want to ask you, you think that might rival COVID? How'd you like to get the call from heaven that says, hey, big boy, time to put your child on the altar? Makes COVID seem pretty small. I show it to you because it is a time that brings definition. It brings description to the family of God. Most theologians would tell you that this passage brings to closure and fulfillment the promise that we looked at last week, Genesis 12, 1, 2, and 3, where God makes a promise to Abraham. Abraham, the one through whom the promises of God are going to go out to the whole world, through his bloodline, and more specifically through Christ. That Jesus the Christ is going to come through this bloodline, this family of faith. And we've said, you really need to understand what it means to be the faith family of God. Not the churchgoers, not the religionists, but the supernaturally anointed and preserved. Those captured by grace through the gospel. You need to know and understand so that you're not satisfied with going to church until you're coming into Christ. And that you serve as his family of witnesses and worshipers, his ambassadors, his aroma, his army. This is the purpose. And it comes to fulfillment here in Genesis 22 through the promise that was originally given to Abraham back in chapter 12. We looked at it more closely in chapter 15, verse 5, where God says, listen, yours, your family, your descendants, they're going to be like the stars in the heavens. Now, mind you, he's talking to an old dude with a barren wife. And they are way past the time of having children. This is so that there would be no mistake that this is a miraculous move of Almighty God. And that the mission would come out of the Messiah and his miraculous gift of grace. Now, if you take all of this into the context of both where we are and where God's word is, I tell you the timeless truth that I pray that you'll hang your expectations on this morning. And you'll see three movements in this chapter that parallel us very closely. The first one is that God tests our faith. God tests our faith. You're going to see that God tests our fears and that God also tests our family. This is what you'll see, and my prayer is to bring us as a faith family along this road in the Bible through the path that we've been walking for 15 months, because I want you to see how we made it through, with whom we've made it through, and I want you to see all of this directly from God's word, 100% from God's word. The timeless truth of God testing his faith in his family and the fears of those in that family, you're going to see it through the eyes and the lives of Abraham and Isaac and others, but I pray that you feel it and sense it and own it personally. Now, if you can think about those times you've been tested, then again, if it's not directly here with the COVID season, walk with Abraham. Listen to God's word and let's unpack this testing and the glory that is to be found in this as we reminisce where we've been and we remember where we're going. We remember where we're going. So walk with me. If you have your Bibles, and I pray that you do, let's walk through Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 19. And in the beginning, at the very start, God's word says, after these things. Well, let me stop there and let's get a little context. Because it's important that you and I realize that Abraham, he's just like you and me. He's been living a pretty rough life. After these things, well, in the last chapter, we saw Isaac was born. We saw him being told by God to put out Ishmael. I mean, think about that. And you're going to see here in a minute that that wasn't called a test. So I want you to know that Abraham, like you and me, came into what we're about to see having already lived a pretty rough life. He was captured as a pagan, God-hater. He's been told already to get on your horse and go. Where? I'll tell you, just follow and obey. He's already had all kinds of ups and downs, peaks and valleys. He's shown us that without the love of God in him, he's a scoundrel, just like you and me. So understand, when we're coming into this, after these things, after already having a tough go, so if we ever get tempted to throw ourselves a little pity party, well, you have no idea how tough it is for me. Oh, cut it out. Come back to God and his word and see what he's done. After these things, you're about to see a man with peace. Note this. The fruit of peace is going to come out of his faith. His faith that has been established is going to carry him with peace through his presence. And that's for you and me as well. I want you to see that when we test our faith, when God tests our faith, it is in part to get us ready for what is next. And when your faith is ready, you'll embrace whatever comes with a victorious attitude. I want to remind you of exactly how we started 15 months ago, the introduction to the sermon that I shared as we had just gotten shut down and we were told, I want you to go now and embrace the call in the midst of these restrictions. Watch this and again, think about Abraham getting the call. Good morning and welcome to a blessed, worldwide, worship-filled morning where we are victoriously uniting as the people of God. I want you to think about those words even before I pray. And again, I ask you to take this to heart. We are gathering. I welcome you to a blessed, worldwide, worship-filled, victorious and uniting gathering of God's people. Now, I want you to think about each of those words that I said. I'm not going to ask you to contemplate a question this morning. I want to come to you with a very special message at a very special time and really digging into these words. I said welcome to you. I want to welcome you. I said good morning. You see, this is a good day where warmth and fellowship are to be had, that we are a blessed people. If you're hearing this message, if you have the opportunity to hear God's word, to heed God's word, you're a blessed people. We are a blessed people. We are gathering worldwide, praise God. We are literally, as a family and as a missional instrument of God, we are speaking to and reaching out to and literally hugging worldwide. We're doing it on this day, like every day, as a worship-filled people. We're doing it victoriously. Praise God. We are blood-bought victors, overwhelming overcomers in Christ. We are also united. We are uniting, gathering supernaturally, not because of the technology, but because of the truth, Jesus the Christ, who unites us. And we are, if you are spirit-filled, we are the people of God. And with that in mind, I ask you now, pray with me as we prepare to be led and fed by God and his word. Lord, I come to you now, and on behalf of the people I serve, I ask you to bring us closer to you in this time of uncertainty. Let us be united in the truth and the love of you and your gospel. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, friend, let me just say to you before we even get into the text that in this time, I want to encourage you. I want to bring to you a message from God and his word that reminds us that looking, living, and loving up will really help to settle us all down today and every day. That's just as true today as it was 15 months ago. And I pray that you see, like Abraham, we walked into the midst of this COVID time because we know who is on the throne. We understand that there is a sovereign God who is over all things. And while we may not be able to predict and we may not be able to stop, we can walk with our head up, our hearts thumping, and our hands reaching out because of who Christ is and what he has done. Let's continue with verse 1, and I want to take you down through verse 2. After these things, God tested Abraham. Hear this. God tested Abraham. He didn't tempt him, but he tested him. God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham? And he said, here I am. And God said, take your son. Now listen in verse 2 and tell me if you don't hear another famous verse paralleling here. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. I want to encourage you to see the parallels of John 3:16 right here. And that's the point. What we're doing is we're walking through a difficult time that is to point to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That you and I, this COVID time, it was given to us in part to point people to the gospel and to Jesus the Christ. I pray that you see here that Abraham is tested. You, me, we will be tested. Your faith will be tested. Remember, he's already gone through tough times. That wasn't considered a test. Know this, that all of your trials and all of your travails, they're not necessarily tests. That's just life. And there will be times when you will be specifically tested by God. We, our faiths, will be tested by God. Know this, that this is a day, and I again pray that you hear and see this with COVID. This is a day for Abraham that in some ways, it's unlike any other day he's ever had in his life. Can you imagine getting that call from heaven? And at the same time, it's just like every other day that Abraham has ever had. When you understand that your days are filled with yes, Lord, and faithful obedience, days don't change. Oh, the assignment may change, the circumstances may change. But when you understand that every single day is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, love your neighbor as yourself, say yes, Lord, to the assignments, pray and obey, then follow him all the way, days don't change. You know, the scenery changes, but the mission marches right on. This is what you and I see. This is what the gospel empowers and privileges you and me to have. That's why we don't get distracted and pulled away by all these other things. The mission is clear. Never changes. Let me take you back 15 months once more. Let's be honest and open. There are things going on in this world that I have never seen before. And so in one sense, this day is unlike any other in our church family's 15 years. And at the same time, hear me, please. This day is just like every other day in our 15-year existence, but ever since our Lord created and put forth his creation, one single plan has been unfolding and it has never changed or been thwarted. Now, in our context, let me just give you a little bit of this contrast. I want you to see, and again, be honest and open. This day is unlike any other in that the temporal realities that are happening around us are somewhat unique. But it's just like every other because this is an eternal set of truths and circumstances that, again, are not taking God off guard. It is truly unlike any other in that there is a focus on a virus that we've never seen before. But it's just like every other one because where we focus on the victorious, it's to walk in the truth and the love of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, again, it's unlike any other when we focus on a pandemic fear. But it's just like every other when we realize that this is just another symptom of a problematic fall. Nothing's taking us off guard. It is a little unique in that we're meeting and uniting online. But at the same time, it's just like every other Sunday where so many of our family members are meeting and uniting online. We've been built for such a time as this. Lastly, I would say to you in one sense, yes, this is unlike any other. And we have a special word and a unique day of worship as a result. But praise God, this is just like every other day in that we have a special word from our Lord and we worship him and him alone and nothing gets in the way. Our God and his prophetic vision speak directly to our world and its problematic virus. Now, what does it say? Hear me. Praise God. We have the vaccine. We have the vaccine. We have the eternal vaccine. His name is Jesus. We have the eternal vaccine in the gospel of Jesus the Christ. And with that, I bring to you today a message entitled, The Winning Witness of Withness. The Winning Witness of Withness, with a subtitle, and I say that on purpose, a subtitle of Christ, Coronavirus, and the Church. I want you to hear those in order. Christ first. Coronavirus, yes, it's out there. And the church, praise God, that he is lifting up and sending out as his missional community in this medical emergency. Do you hear? Nothing's changed. We've been talking about this for weeks, months, years. Nothing changes because of who Christ is and what he has done. I pray that you see this. Let's go into verse 3. Now, we go on here with Abraham, and he is walking through something far greater in terms of a personal challenge than COVID. So Abraham rose early. Let me ask you, who rises early on that day? The guy with faith does, because he knows that he's received a promise. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood. Let me just tell you, you're going to hear wood five times in this account. It's a bigger thing than most people realize. It symbolizes both the cross of Christ and the sin that we bring to him. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God told him. God's talking to his people. You hear that? He's talking to his people. Where do you go? Well, I don't know. Well, you better pray and obey, because he'll speak to his people. See this, that the faith that is applied to mission goes on. Where are we going, Lord? What are we doing? Yes, Lord. Have you got any idea how difficult that's going to be? Nope, but that's not my part. My part is to say yes, Lord, and to walk by faith, to say yes, Lord, that the witness, Hebrews 11:2, the witness of God and his witness to our witness is that he's going to make a way. He's going to make a way. I just pray and obey. I just follow him all the way. And I can do it with a peace and a calmness that, hear me, it won't just fuel your obedience. It'll be a witness to the world. It will be a witness to the world. Again, back 15 months. See, we're going to be reminded today from God and his word that trying times and even tragic trials call us to remain calm in, concentrated on, and committed to Christ. Now, if somebody is not yet a believer, a Christian, a follower, then this is the time where they're perhaps most able to hear this truth. Perhaps unlike any other time, they'll now be attuned to. God may use this time to get their attention, and we, church, are to be the ambassadors that carry this message forward. I want you to hear this and know that you're hearing from God Almighty. It's Exodus 3, verse 15, and God's word says, God, furthermore, said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you, has sent me to you. This I am is my name forever. And thus, this is my memorial to all generations. Hear that? All generations. That's you and me right here, right now. Now, eight times in that one verse, God is referenced. God, 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 God. Friend, I pray that you hear who's speaking and that you take it to heart. Pray today, just the same way that you hear who's speaking. This is God on display. We went into COVID trusting him. We're coming out trusting him, and we're going to continue to trust him. And that's what makes all the difference. It did for Abraham. It does for every positive example in the scriptures, and it will for you and me. Listen to verse 4 and 5. And verse 5 is one of my favorites in all the Bible. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. So he's obeyed, he's on his way. Verse 5, then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the lad will go over there and worship. Hang on. What you talking about worship here, Abraham? I thought you're going over there to sacrifice your son. Notice the witness of Abraham. The lad and I are going over there to worship. When you're walking by faith and you hear the Lord and he says to do something, you can do it with the sense of pride in him that allows you to have the power to worship even when it looks like something that would be impossible to worship through. We're going over there to worship, and check this out, and come again to you. Now, he's got the instructions to go sacrifice his son, and he's telling these folks, we're going to worship, and we are coming back to you. That's faith. I pray that you see that faith always worships, and faith never flinches. And until and unless your faith is a no matter what faith, it's not biblical faith. You say, Pastor Jeff, that's kind of raising the bar, don't you think? It's sharing the bar from God's word. Faith always worships, no matter what. Faith never flinches. And unless and until faith is no matter what, it's not biblical faith. Now, are you and I going to have that all the time? Nope, not going to happen. Can you and I have that all the time? You better believe it if the Holy Spirit of God is in you. Now we're talking about sanctification. Now we're talking about the dynamic of your relationship with this living God. A dynamic and a relationship that you and I ought to be beaming with, because we get to have this. We get to be this people. We get to be tested. Our faith gets to be tested. Listen again to where we were 15 months ago, seeing this as we were walking into just such a time where we felt like, who knows where this is going? And everything looks bleak. And how we walked in, it'll help you understand how we're walking out. Let me say this, that I am right now, this minute, and in the moments that follow, I'm speaking to our church family. I'm speaking to our communities. I'm speaking to our cities, to our culture. I'm speaking right now on the authority of God's word to the world's countries and continents. Hear and heed the word of God. 3 points for this time and every time. Number one, Father knows. That's what we see here in Exodus 3. Father knows. Number two, fear not. Fear not. And number three, again here from our text, faith now. Faith now. Father knows. Fear not. Faith now. Piper says, in understanding the difficult questions and these difficult times in its relationship to the goodness and the grace and the almighty mercy and sovereignty of God, quote, all natural disasters and diseases are a divine thunderclap. All natural disasters and diseases are a divine thunderclap calling all people everywhere to repent and realign their lives by grace with the infinite worth of the glory of God, end quote. Friends, I want you to know that God is right here, and he is sovereign, he is good, and he is loving. If the medical community in our context right now all basically said, listen, it's just too dangerous to be a doctor or a nurse or to work in the hospital right now, if our medical community just totally retracted and put self-preservation first, what do you think would happen? Now, no doubt there are some that would say, well, I'll tell you what, I would understand. But I hope that there would be a deeper sense of unrest. There should be. And if that's true for the medical community, how much more for Christ's missional community? That's us, church. Yes, there's a virus out there. We have the vaccine. His name is Jesus the Christ. Ask for your help. I just received a text popped up on my screen. Would you please pray with me for our soon-to-be grandson, Bentley? He's just been brought to the ER and he's vomiting blood. Lord, please, please intervene and take care of Bentley right now. We don't know what is happening, but again, we know who is in charge. Lord, we know that you are sovereign, you are on the throne, and nothing is happening outside of your control. So we pray for Bentley right now. Lord, stop whatever is happening, we pray. Give insight to those that are going to look at him. And Lord, let us be ever mindful of just how true your word is. Every second of every day. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Again, if there's ever a question of whether or not we need to have this faith and know who's in charge, the trials, the challenges, the tests, they're not going to stop. Listen to verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac. Wood on Isaac. Sin of the world on. Laid the wood on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, so that they went both of them. They went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, he said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Notice he responds the same to his son as he does to God. Here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Verse 8. Take this to heart, friends. If you remember only one verse, take this one home with you. Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So then they went both of them together. This is the gospel jumping off right at you. God will provide for himself the lamb. John 1:29, behold, the lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is all pointing to Christ. The trial, the test, it's all pointing to the good news. I would say to you that our time through COVID was designed to do the exact same thing. It was to help us to see Christ, put our dependence upon him, help others to see that he is large and in charge no matter what is going on around us. And see here with Abraham and Isaac, this portrait of the gospel on display, that real ordinary faith families really live and love with an extraordinary faith. If you've got a real faith family, they're going to really live out extraordinary faith. And I pray to God that's exactly what you've seen for 15 months. If you look at what God has done in our family over this 15 months, we've literally exploded in terms of kingdom witness. There now literally are bridge families sprouting up all over the country of Uganda. We have 3 direct missionaries, church bridge churches starting in 3 different regions of India. We have a mission center that we are partnering with Sathama Ministries in one of the most difficult regions of all of India. You're seeing God at work throughout our family all over. 26 churches now under the umbrella of our love and our influence in Kenya. We're seeing the Bridge family across the Midwest. We just prayed for Southern Illinois. Down into North Carolina. Now, what is this? This is Zechariah 4:6. This is not by might or power, but by the Spirit of Almighty God. That's what Abraham would tell you if he were sitting right here. He said, oh, that chapter 22 thing, that wasn't me. No, that was the Lord. That was the Lord. That was my faith in the one true living God. That was him in me. Nothing to do with us down here. All him through us. Know that we will have our faith tested. In verses 9 through 14, you see that fear gets tested as well. Yours and my fear. Listen to these passages. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son. And he laid him on the altar. On top of the wood. The wood was on him, and now he's on the wood. He carried his cross, he carried the wood up, and now he's on the wood. See Christ. This is the portrait to the gospel. He was bound. Isaac at this point is a man. He's a 30 to 35 year old man, might just be 33 like Jesus. He's in that range. His old dad binds him. That's voluntary. See Jesus voluntarily going to the cross. Verse 10, then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. Verse 11, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Same phrase, here I am. God said to him, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God. That's the test. Now I know that you fear God. God's going to test your fear. Who or what do you fear? You fear the world? You fear what might come of and in the world? Or do you fear God in a reverent way that the scripture says is the beginning of wisdom? You see, friends, he says, now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. Do you fear losing anything to say, yes, Lord? If so, that's an idol. Let it go. Anything. Let it go. To fear losing anything enough to say no, or wait, or how about we try this, is an idol. You see, it's not just about what keeps you up at night or what nightmares you have. It's what has a nightmarish hold on your heart. See, your faith will reveal your fear, and your fear will reveal your faith. Your faith will reveal your fears, and your fears will reveal your faith. And praise God, when you fear God biblically, you'll fear nothing else globally. Amen. When you fear God biblically, you'll fear nothing else globally. Verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was an innocent ram. Doesn't say innocent in the scriptures, but I've added it for your help. Here's this innocent ram, caught in a thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. That's why I put in there innocent. It's so that you can see Jesus here in this ram. Here's where the sacrificial atonement system that we know of as Christians is brought into full focus. One is going to now be sacrificed for another. And the one who is being sacrificed has nothing to do with the problem at hand, is not connected to the sin that is going to be sacrificed for. That's Jesus. This again is the gospel. Verse 14, so Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. Some of you may have heard this as Jehovah Jireh. That's literally what is here in the Hebrew language. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Christ is the way. Christ is the provision, the gospel. See here the pointing to Jesus. I pray that each one of us will realize that we can be just like Abraham. We bring our warts and our worship. And if you're a Christian, you can go farther because now you have the Holy Spirit in you. And this is how and why we can walk through COVID and anything else with a confidence that should arrest the attention and inspire the desires of an onlooking world. Let me show you how we closed 15 months ago to include the prayer. And I pray it will bless and inspire you as we go forward, having seen what it was to have both our faith and our fear tested directly by God. Friends, there is a coronavirus, but I promise you it is wrapped by Christ and the church, and we have the vaccine. His name is Jesus. Oh, there's no guarantee that we won't end up dying here on earth, but if you know the vaccine that is Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is a guarantee that while life may end here, it will not end eternally. The vaccine that is Jesus the Christ, the eternal vaccine of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the answer. The Almighty I Am is the answer. I pray that on this day, He either penetrated your heart and captured you by grace, or he nudged you, or he reminded you, or he blessed you in such a way that you remember now what has been revealed to you in the past, that those who are the church, the biblical, Christ-centered, Spirit-filled, set-apart, sent-out servants of the Almighty I Am, need fear not, because our Father knows, and we will champion faith now. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, I thank you that we can come to you knowing that you can do more than anything we've ever imagined or hoped for, that you are sovereignly in control when everything else seems to be in chaos. Lord, I pray that everyone within the sound of my voice will be remembered that while the temporary can kill us, it can never eternally hurt us when we are with you, in you, when we are your true biblical church. Everything else is secondary, and your promises bring your power and your eternal protection to your people. We die like everybody else. In fact, we die more frequently, sometimes as martyrs. There's no promise of temporal safety, but there is a guarantee of eternal security in you. May this be what we know. May this be how we live and love, without fear, championing faith. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. That's how we ended. That's where and how we ended 15 months ago. And I'm here to tell you, praise God, like Abraham, I feel like today we're coming down the mountain with Isaac. That's what today is all about. We're going to meet the folks and let them know that God fulfilled his promise. And you want to know how? I'd love to tell you. Could you imagine walking with Abraham? I can't imagine what that would have been like. But we know, because we saw how he went in, that we understand that this is who he is. This is who we are to be. This is the essence of being the faith family of God. Now notice how we're going to see in the closing verses that God tests the family as well. That the testing of our faith, the testing of our fear is going to test the very family as well. Verses 15 through 19, and we'll close here. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven. And he said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord." You don't have to worry about God's promises. They're your guarantees. Amen. He says, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because..." Now here it is. Ready? Sovereign grace, human responsibility. "Because you have done this, because you have faithfully obeyed, I am giving you my guarantee. And you have not withheld your son, your only son, like the rich young ruler. You didn't hold on to anything. You didn't go 99% in, which is 100% out. You came all in and you got all this blessing. I will surely bless you because you did, because you are, because of your faith, my grace will surely bless you. And I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven." Remember last week, Genesis 15:5? Here it is. Here is the promise now being fulfilled on the other side of faithful obedience. "And as the sand that is on the seashore," he says, "your offspring are going to be outnumbering the sands of the shores." Now note this shift, because this is important and you won't see it in English. If you press into this, you're about to see the promises going from the multitude of the family to the individual who is Christ. He says, "I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven," plural, "and as the sand that is on the seashore," plural, "and your offspring," singular, "shall possess the gate of his enemies." That's Jesus. We're back to Genesis 3:15. Oh, he's going to have enemies. They're going to strike him on his heel, and then he's going to crush the head of the enemy. This is pointing to the promise that is Christ. This is our promise. We didn't come through COVID because of our church. We came through COVID because of Christ. Abraham didn't come down off the mountain singing a tune because of Abraham. He came down that way because the God of all creation fulfilled his promise. This is the point. Galatians 3:16 will show you that this is the singular pointing towards Christ. You see, friends, we need to understand the distinctions that are here. We need to understand who it is that is going to fulfill the promises that were given to Abraham. Last week, we focused on understanding the true faith family of God. See here again, there is a test that's going to be put forth. Know that the true faith family of God, it's a working class family. We are a working class family. Doubt me? Go to James 2:17. Oh, that faith without works, that's dead. You're not saved by your works, but you're saved for good works. You and I will see that the faith family of God has this faith. Hebrews 11:6. Without this faith, it's impossible to please God. This is who we are. This is the real faith. We're not elevating the bar somehow to get people uncomfortable. We're illuminating the narrow path that is the truth and love of God and his word. This is what it is. I want to show it to you with some visuals here. I've created some tools that I pray will help you and to help you to help others. When we talk about the faith families, there are two in the world. Let me show it to you quickly here. There are two. There are two families, the lost family and the found family. That's it. Just two. At the end of the day, those two families, now they got a lot of cousins, they got a lot of relatives, but there's only two families at the end of the day. That's what the Bible teaches. The family that's going to hell and the family that's going to heaven. Now, let's just be real about this and be a people that can help others to understand. Let me show you the lost family. The lost family, you're going to find them to be atheists. You're going to find them to be pantheists. You're going to find them to be agnostics. You're going to find them to be religionists. Visually, what you see here is the atheist, that's the group, and there are a lot of different offshoots, different cousins in these families. The atheist, instead of coming to Christ, turns and goes in the opposite direction. There's no God. I refuse to accept it. The pantheists, represented by all those arrows, they believe in all kinds of gods. There's God everywhere, except for the one real God. And they refuse to accept the exclusivity of the one true God. The agnostics, they too are turning away from God. They're not going to be as aggressive as the atheists. But they're going to tell you, listen, I don't know. I don't buy into all this. I think there's more of a nothingness than anything in particular. I don't want to fight with you like the atheist. They can also be found to be antagonists. These are the ones that are going to define and defend nothing, believe it or not. And then you have the religionists, and this group is pretty big. The religionists are the ones that get closest to Christ in the cross, but they don't get through the barrier of spiritual warfare. They're still blind. They're still dead. These could include your moralist, your traditionalist, your fundamentalist, heretics of all different sorts and kinds. They're going to look and sound and act oftentimes like they are in the faith family of God. Hence the arrow going over the top. These are the goats spiritually, the weeds spiritually. They're going to act and talk as though and oftentimes really believe, sincerely believe that they are in the faith family of God. But they're not. They're just religionists. And then those that are deceived that way, they are often deceived by the lost that tunnel underneath the cross. These are the wolves and the snakes. These are the ones that are working hard to convince those that are lost that they're actually saved. And to a lesser extent, they'll try to work on the saved to convince them that they're lost. Now, let me show you. When you understand these two faith families of God, and I've just given you a portrait of understanding the lost world and that family, let me show you the found family. Some of you that know our material will become very familiar with this and say, oh yeah, I get it. There are four different subgroups in the found family of God, the lovers, the learners, the leaders, and the lifers. And notice there's a progression, there's a growth, a spiritual maturity. They come through the cross, born again as baby Christians. I call them lovers. They grow into a learner, a spiritual adolescent. Those learners, when they really are developing, they become a leader. They start to pour out. They stop going up and they start pouring out. And those leaders, praise God, when they continue to develop, they become lifers. Now, let me show you what happens. It's not just a progression going forward, but the key to the faith family of God is they also go back. When you look at this, you see that each one will go back and try to help the others. The faith family of God are all about the glory of God. Even the baby lover, the first thing they do is they go back to the darkness and try to help the lost. The learners help the lovers. The leaders help the learners and they help the lovers and they also go in. And ultimately, the lifers are those who exemplify. And they're helping to develop all of these. That's the faith family of God. That's the found family. It just gives you a biblical way of understanding who is and who is not in the true faith family of God. Let me show it to you when you pull it all together. This would be a very busy slide if you hadn't walked through it, but I pray that you'll take this slide, you'll understand it. You'll not only grow in it and through it, but that you'll help others to do the same. These are all going to be in the notes for you online at the end of this sermon. And I pray that you'll use them because it's important. It's eternally important to understand who is truly in the faith family of God and who is not. Not so that you can be right, but that as a righteous lover of God and people, that you can help them. That you can help those who desperately need to understand. That if you really are in the faith family of God, then you, every one of us, everywhere in the world, you were masterfully created. You were mercifully chosen, miraculously converted. You are messianically centered. You're missionally committed. And you're a part of a multifaceted, multigenerational, multidimensional, multinational church family of God. Now, why is that so important to stress? Because you and I can take this account in Genesis 22, and you can talk to a Muslim, you can talk to a Jewish person, and they will stand just as powerfully on this passage as you and I are doing here today. And they will walk away with a totally different interpretation. The Muslim believes that instead of Isaac, it was Ishmael, and that all the promises follow him, that Muhammad came through the line of Ishmael, Jesus comes through the line of Isaac. You want to know how important it is to understand this passage and its connections? Your Jewish friends and neighbors, they believe that Jesus is just a good teacher. They believe that the story ends here, that there is no continuation of Almighty God up into and through Jesus Christ. They stop right before the cross. Well, that's a dead end that ends in hell. They desperately need to hear. I plead with you, take Genesis 22, Isaiah 53, and any one of the gospel accounts of Jesus on the cross, and you bring that to your Jewish friends. And you say, can we please walk through just these three passages in the Bible? This is how important this is. Friends, we need to, listen to verse 18, we need to be this faith family. Verse 18, and in your offspring, God's still speaking, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. This is through Jesus and through us. Because you have obeyed my voice, because you have faithfully obeyed Abraham, your family is going to go forward and be my witnesses. All knowing, all loving, all powerful God is going to come through your bloodline. Again, I say to you, just take a look and see what love and obedience has done in terms of the fruit of our faith. I would say this to you, when we understand that we're seeing here God tests faith, God tests fear, when you take this passage and you open it up to the Bible, you'll realize that God tests families. He's tested ours, and praise God, I'm here to tell you with humility and in the blessing of grace that we've come through this COVID time the way Abraham came down off that mountain. I want to give you some tools to help you again to just understand this testing. God tests his family and the families who claim to be his families by applying God's word. So let me ask you personally and those that you know, are you passing the gospel's Christ-likeness test? Are you passing the Beatitudes character test? Are you passing the fruit of the Spirit's witness test? Are you passing the full armor of God's preparation test? Are you passing Hebrews 10 and 11's faith test? How about 1 Corinthians 13's love test? How about Jude's contending and creeps test? What about Proverbs' wisdom and discernment test? Psalms' passion test? How about Ezekiel's wall walking test? How about Jeremiah's proclamation test? How How about Hosea's forgiveness test? The poor Macedonian sacrificial giving test? Revelation's final test? How about Stephen's serving test, Acts 7? What about Mary versus Martha's perspective test? How about John 17 and Acts 2, Koinonia and Homothumadon test? What about Colossians 3:16's devotion test? The confidence test of Philippians 4:13 and 2 Peter 1:3? What about the cross-carrying test of Luke 14:27? How about the confrontational test of Titus 1:10 through 16? The leadership test of Titus 2:14 and 15? The transformation test of 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21? How about the judgment test of John 7:24? How about the church test when you look at the whole book of Acts? What about Romans' theology test? What about Ephesians' introductory test? How about Hebrews' 5 steps to apostasy test? What about 1 John's blood test? What about the miraculous test of John 6:44? How about the test of the tensions that we find in all of the Bible's both ends? How about the gospel's test when we take all of the word? Now, I know you're thinking, that's a fire hose. Here we go again. And there's no way that I could pass every one of those tests every day. Welcome to the family of God. But you have everything you need for life and godliness. And beyond your evaluation of the test here today, you have the guarantee of the gospel that if you're in the family of God and you want this truly through the miracle of his grace, through the Messiah himself, and to live on this miraculous mission, you're guaranteed that you're going home one day. This is not a call to perfectionism. It's a call to passion. It's a call to understand what it is to be in the family of God and to settle for nothing less. There is a huge problem in our culture today of identity theft, and it's happening in churches all over the land. May we be this true faith family of God. Listen to verse 19, and here's where I'll end. It's a celebration, friends. This is a celebration. We're coming through COVID, and praise God, like Abraham coming down off the mountain, this is a time for celebration. Listen to verse 19. So Abraham returned to his young men. Hey, Isaac, come on, let's go see the guys. Hey, guys, it's me and Isaac, just like I told you. We've been worshiping, and we came back just like we told you. Hey, Kent Island. Hey, Northeast Kingdom. Hey, Uganda. Hey, Kenya. Hey, India. Hey, China. Hey, Midwest. We're coming back. So Abraham returned and said with his son, we have arisen and we are going together. We, Bridge family, we have risen up and we are going together. Scripture literally says, so Abraham returned to his young men and they arose and went together. I say to you, praise God, let's get up and let's go. Let's go. We have a trip coming up not long from now where we're going to go back to Uganda and we're going to go to Kenya. And I say to you, one last test. Are you ready to get up and go? Wherever, across the table, across the street, across the neighborhood, across the town, across the state, across the country, across the continents. Are you ready to get up and go together? We've been called to go locally, regionally, and globally. In about a month, we're going to be back in Uganda and Kenya. And we're going to go, and I pray, we're going to show what it is to pass the crash test. I pray that we'll pass the crash test together. And I want to give you an understanding of the crash test. It comes out of Erwin McManus's book called The Barbarian Way. Towards the end of his book, he takes a look at different gatherings of different animals and birds. And he likens it to being the church, and I pray that we'll do this as well. You see, he says if you look at a gathering of crows, they're called a murder. Don't be a dead church. Don't be a murder. Don't be like a bunch of dead crows. He says don't be one of those flamboyant, like a bunch of flamingos, showmen, like a bunch of peacocks. Don't be a bunch of those flamboyants. And that's what they're called. A gathering of flamingos is called a flamboyance. Don't be a flamboyance. You know me, if you know me well, I love eagles. A gathering of eagles is called a flame. I pray that we'll ignite the flame and the fire of our culture. McManus doesn't include this, but I was so taken by the illustration that I studied it. Do you know that if you get a gathering of hippos together, big, fat, lazy, lay-in-the-mud hippos, they're called a bloat. Let us never be a bloat, but instead let us be a herd of charging rhinos. A rhino that gets up to 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 pounds, can run 30 miles an hour, but can only see about 20 feet in front of it. You think, uh-oh, here comes this massive mound of muscle, that big giant horn, 30 miles an hour, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 pounds. What's it going to do? It's going to crush what's ever in front of it. That's what it's going to do. It's going to go right through what is ever in front of it. Well, let me tell you, about a year ago, Pastor Frederick in Kenya said God gave him a vision. And after hearing and being a part of our discipleship time, he said, Pastor Jeff, God showed me that you're committed to true, clean, living water. Here in Kenya, we get 90% clean water, 10% poison. And you and the Bridge family, you're bringing to us clean water. He said, last night, the Lord woke me up. I had this stirring from the Lord. It was a dream. And he said, Pastor Jeff and the Bridge, they're like T9s. They are the T9s coming to Kenya. I said, I don't understand. What's a T9? He said, a T9 is one of those big giant bulldozers that when we see them here in Kenya, we know that something's about to go through the rainforest and make a path. And I immediately thought, he's talking about the crash. And I want to ask you if you're ready, willing, and wanting to pass the crash test. Matthew, would you show the image? I pray that we together will embrace being Christ's crash and T9s. That we together, to the glory of God and by his grace, and through the championing of the gospel and nothing else, that here on Kent Island, here in the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont, all across Uganda, all across Kenya, all across India, all across China, anywhere and everywhere, that we will go. And again, by God's grace and for his glory, that we will be Christ's crash and T9's family. So I say to you before I pray, are you ready? Are you ready? Let's go finish our race. Let's go fight the good fight. Let us go and find the lost and grow the found. Let us go love God, love people, and serve the world no matter what. Locally, regionally, and globally. Let us go be the church because Christ is in us. And Christ has sent us. Let us settle for nothing else. Don't you be satisfied with coming back to church. Let's go for Christ. Amen. Lord, I thank you so much for how you have demonstrated yourself in us and through us. Thank you for the examples and the inspirations that are included in your word. May we contribute in some small, humble way to the symphony of your witness. Locally, regionally, and globally. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
There was a time that I swore I would never go back. I was blind to the truth, didn't know what I had. I was running, I was searching, but every place I turned for healing left me more broken than the last. Take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they've seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I wanna go to church. Trying to walk on my own, but I wound up lost. Now I'm making my way to the foot of the cross. It's not a trophy for the winners, it's a shelter for the sinners, and it's right where I belong. Take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. place where they've seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I wanna go to church. It's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they've seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I wanna go to church.
Been a long time in the dark, felt good saying goodbye. Waking up to a brand new heart. And if you're sleeping like I used to be, in a grave that holds you tight, there's a savior calling. Promising a brand new life. He's saying,
wake up, sleeper.
Bet you like your new name. Oh, welcome to the kingdom. Yeah, we all feel that way. So if you see somebody sleeping like the way you used to be, tell them about the Savior. And a little thing called free. Go ahead and say,
wake up, sleeper.
shepherd boy and made him a king. So I'm gonna trust you and give you everything. I'll be a conqueror, 'cause you fight for me. The wall won't stop until I see them fall. Gonna stand up, step out when you call. Jesus, Jesus, I'm gonna sing and shout and shake the wall. Won't stop until I see them fall. Gonna stand up, step out when you call. Jesus, give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David. Lord, be my defense, so I can face my giants with confidence. Yeah! Give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. My giants with confidence.
I walk a bit different now, now that my heart's been found. Nothing really feels the same. I hold my head a bit higher, I lift my voice a bit louder. Yeah, something inside has changed.
I am a mountain mover, water walker, more than just an overcomer, 'cause I've been set free. I am a gospel preacher, heart on fire, freedom singing, testifier, 'cause I've been redeemed. I am a believer. I am a believer.
I know this is not my home, I know I don't walk alone. No matter what comes my way, I have peace through the trouble, I have joy through the struggle. Now my hope's in a brighter day.
I am a mountain mover, water walker, more than just an overcomer, 'cause I've been set free.